Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
Welcome to Berean Bible Fellowship. In John chapter 5, in speaking to the leaders of the nation of Israel who did not believe that Jesus was who he claimed to be, because he claimed to be their long-awaited Messiah, claimed to be the one who had been prophesied in the Old Testament, the one that they were waiting for, the one who had been sent down from heaven as the Lamb of God as a sacrifice, who would take upon himself the sins of this world. But they didn't believe that. And because they rejected him, he said to them, though you claim to be the disciples of Moses, you do not really believe the words of Moses that he has written in the Word of God. Because if you did believe, then you would believe my words. Because Jesus said, in fact, Moses spoke of me when he wrote down those inspired words of God in the first five books of the Old Testament. That's quite a statement, isn't it? That's quite an indictment against the leaders of the nation of Israel. And it is an indictment against many people today who do not believe the words of Moses in the book of Genesis. So they really do not believe the words of Jesus. Well, that's something to think about, isn't it? So because of their unbelief, the leaders of the nation of Israel would crucify their own Messiah, the one who had been sent from heaven to release them from their sin. So let me say it again. Those who do not believe the truth of the book of Genesis do not believe the truth of the word of God, and so they do not believe the words of Jesus Christ, because those words in Genesis testify of him. And it is here, in these opening chapters of the book of Genesis, that we are introduced to the foundational truth of salvation. We're introduced to the promise of God for life, for eternal life, even though we are all under the sentence of death, under the sentence of eternal punishment because of our sin against him. It is a promise that we saw in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3, of one who would come to free us from our bondage to Satan, to free us from our bondage to sin. And as we come to verse 20 of Genesis chapter 3, we find the Lord gives us a gospel message. We find that Adam believed the truth of the word of God by faith. Adam believed the promise of God to save him and to save his wife, and to save those who would be born to them, those who would populate the earth after them. Adam believed that God would honor his word. And how do we know that? Well, we know that because in verse 20, even though Adam and Eve were under the sentence of death, he called his wife's name Eve. Heva in Hebrew. a word which means life. She would bring forth life, not death. And he called her Eve because she was to be the mother of all of the living, of all of the living who were not yet born. God would not destroy Adam and Eve for their sin against him. Adam believed that. So by faith, he believed that there would be deliverance, that there would be salvation through the Messiah, through the one, it says in verse 15, who would crush the head of Satan. Simply stated, Adam believed the word of God, and faith in the truth, in the absolute truth of the word of God, is essential. It is the foundation for all of our belief. Like Adam, we walk by faith, not by sight. We believe that though we have not seen the fulfillment of the things that we read about in the Bible, we believe that they will come to pass. We believe God. But like Adam and Eve, we all know that we have sinned, that we fall short of the glory, of the majesty of God, we're told in that familiar passage of Scripture in Romans 3:23. But still, we believe. Despite what the world tells us, we believe in the provision that God has made for us, the gift of his grace towards us through the death of his sinless Son. We believe that his death is more than sufficient to meet the requirements of a holy God as payment for our sin. And so, in verse 21, God gives us that gospel message in a picture of his provision for us. And so, it says that the Lord, the God of grace, the God of creation, sacrificed an innocent animal, an animal that he had created. And we're told that he made garments for the man and for the woman. Ketanef in Hebrew. He made sleeveless tunics of the skin, of the hide of an animal, a coat for Adam and for his wife, Eve, a coat perhaps reaching down to their knees or even down to their ankles, a covering for them. And he did what they could not do for themselves. He clothed them in their nakedness. He covered their sin. You will recall that all that they could do was to make a belt, an apron of fig leaves in an attempt to cover themselves. But fig leaves were not enough to cover their shame. And the picture here is clear, isn't it? It's obvious. No matter what we attempt to do to cover our sin, it will never be enough. As we're reminded in Isaiah 64:6, where it says that all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags to God. Filthy rags will not cover our sin against God. It is God alone who provides the only way to be forgiven through the death of his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the covering for our sin. And because our sin is so detestable to God. We are told in Hebrews 9:22 that without the pouring out of blood, there can be no forgiveness for sin. So God provided the perfect sacrifice for us. He provided the innocent blood of his son, a lamb, it says in 1 Peter 1:19, a lamb who was unblemished and who was spotless in order to pay for our sin against him. A life, for a life, his life, for our life. And as we are promised in Psalm 97, he will preserve the souls of his godly ones. He will deliver them from the hand of the wicked, and he has delivered us from the hand of Satan through the precious blood of Christ. So today, we stand in Christ in victory. A message that was given to us all the way back in these verses in Genesis chapter 3. Then we're told in verse 21 or verse 22, God acted. He acted to preserve and to protect Adam and Eve from a devastating possibility, as if things were not already devastating. And so in a moment, we get to hear. We're given access into a conversation between God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit. One God manifested in three persons. So we are told that the Lord God said, behold, hen in Hebrew, look and see. The man has become in some ways like one of us, knowing that which is good, knowing that which is evil. And now, thinking that he is like his creator, he might foolishly stretch out his hand and also take from the tree of life and eat of it, and then live forever, but live forever in his sin, living under the judgment of God in toil and in pain and in tears forever, never able to enjoy fellowship with God again for all eternity. Therefore, it says in verse 23, for the protection of the man, the Lord God sent him and his wife out. Shalach in Hebrew. He forced them to leave the safety of the garden in order to cultivate the ground from sunup to sunset in hardship and in tears, mourning. Mourning because of all that they had lost. They wanted to be like God. Instead, now they would no longer be with God. And so Adam would labor in the dirt from which he was taken. So we are told in verse 24 that God drove the man and the woman out. Garash. In Hebrew, he threw them out to the east, towards the east of the garden, towards what would one day be the land of Babylon, perhaps near the place where the descendants of Adam and Eve built the Tower of Babel in rebellion against God. I guess the lesson of Adam and Eve was never learned, and perhaps it has still not been learned. And we're told that on the eastern edge of the Garden of Eden, God stationed the cherubim. These were angelic beings who are the guardians of the holiness of God. And we're told he also placed a flaming sword there, which turned in every direction in order to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, there would no longer be access to God. But every night, as the sun would set in the west, perhaps Adam and Eve could still see the garden in the distance. And it was a painful reminder, wasn't it? A reminder of all that they had lost because of their disobedience. All that they had lost because of their sin. All that they had lost because of their foolishness. And there is only one way back to the garden. And that is through Christ Jesus, our Lord. His life that was given for our life, a life for a life, so that we might live with him in paradise, in the glory of heaven, forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.